Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Rowdy Buddhist Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about the Third Noble Truth. But before we do, let's do a little recap. So, as we stated in the first of the Four Noble Truths, the first is life is suffering, as is usual, usually translated as. However, the word that is more appropriate in that situation is unsatisfactory. So we come to realize that the current state of things are unsatisfactory, and that no matter how many things we try to get, how many things we try to change, how many things we try to control, the result is the same. Secondly, we have the cause of suffering. And we find out that the cause of suffering is our endless craving. Of course, this is brought on by the main root of the problem, that being of ignorance. And finally, in this analysis of our existence, of our current situation, the third noble truth becomes relevant. That is, there is an end to this suffering, or that there is an end to this unsatisfactoriness. So, our current state, there is an end. This is the Buddha's point of his practice, and that he is guaranteeing us an idea that a promise that there is an end that he has realized through his own practice. It's interesting, this third noble truth, because it's very often overlooked, because obviously the profoundness of life is unsatisfactory, and then the causes are usually very important, and people talk about it and debate it, etc. And then, of course, we have the fourth one, which is the path, being the Eightfold Path or the six paramitas in Mahayana Buddhism. But the third one is actually extremely essential in itself. And in my own life, I've come to realize that this is the actual what I wished, what I hoped for, what I perhaps even, quote, desired, and the reason why I began to practice Buddhism. Because actually, this promise that there is an end to your suffering is given by all religion. That in their promise of redemption or rebirth or heaven or favoritism from God or Godhead or something of that sort. When I was younger, and a lot of times it's interesting because we may overlook the kind of purity, we would say naivety, but actually I would say the more untainted view of life, which we can come to many very profound realizations when we're young through our pure observation, up until we are, of course, contaminated or manipulated or subjugated by society, religion, culture, etc. And of course, then whatever religion we're born in, that dogma is taught to us. So therefore, the way that we overcome our problems of unsatisfactoriness or suffering is given through that religion. Unless we actually pursue or study other traditions, many years ago, before the internet, that wasn't so easy. The only way you could comparatively understand other religions were if you had taken a college level world religion class, which again, that is usually look at one teaching, 1 or 2 days, simply. So a lot of times, big misunderstandings happen. But as a child, I realized that in my perception of things, that this was something that was not able to be fixed by some deity or God, or by some book of rules or laws, etc., or even through one's obligation or supplication to culture or religious passion or life, etc. And that when I had heard of Buddhism, and I believe in my life there was a natural connection with the Buddhist teaching, because up until that point I was not interested in any religion, that I did in time desire a way to overcome suffering, because actually in 17 years old or 16 years old, you don't have a great perception of suffering. Usually my suffering is very minimalistic compared to what we would consider now. However, in the great overall concept of suffering within Buddhism is that the actual idea of conditioned life based on causes and conditions bring about this samsaric, this secular existence of suffering. Call it the toilet bowl effect, just keeps spinning around and flush down, right? That it's going nowhere with nothing to be able to free ourselves. But it seems like sometimes, not sometimes, I believe it is that religion deeper makes a deeper entanglements for us. Because again, most religion is done based on identity. That's why most people accept the religion of their parents, because it is an idea of identity and association, not necessarily based on a realization or a concept in which they have realized in their own existence that the true way to overcome suffering is done through such and such teaching. But for myself, and I believe all beings, we have this deep desire. And it doesn't matter what religion they follow or what teaching or even the denial of religion or teaching. They do this in the idea, the passion or the desire to end suffering in their life. And again, this is a very personal endeavor, because to actually think about the concept of helping other people from suffering usually doesn't cross most people's mind. It's usually an individualistic relief of suffering, but yet in Buddhism we grow from that individualistic single mindset to a bigger mindset, that is, we see in the Mahayana or in the Lotus Sutra, the idea of the one vehicle, that all are contained within that desire to end suffering, that goal to end suffering. And in Buddhism, and we'll talk again after we finish this lecture of the Four Noble Truths, I'm going to talk about the difference of the concept in Mahayana. So this end to suffering is seen in Buddhism as the word nirvana. Nirvana is an idea of extinction. If you hear this word pronounced as nibbana, it's very important that that is a cue, that that is the idea of the Theravadin, the elder's position of understanding the concept. So there are many concepts based on which school or teaching that you follow for the meaning of this goal of nirvana. And the nirvana, actually there are two kinds of nirvana. One nirvana is realized in this life, and one nirvana is realized after one dies. So nirvana is being able to see the conditions in this life. So it becomes unattached to the conditions. It simply observes them. It is not directed or manipulated by them, by this craving. Craving becomes removed. Therefore, because we enlightened ignorance, we are able to perceive things as proper. So this is the idea of the extinction of suffering. That this is the way that we can end suffering through our practice and study, as Nichiren Shonen state. So it's interesting, because this idea of nirvana is, we might accept it as, oh, there is just one concept of nirvana in Buddhism, but actually as we proceed through the Buddha's teaching, and as which we'll realize and discuss later, there is a very vast concept, a very vast difference in the concept. So that this actual idea of what ends suffering is very different. And can seem sometimes, if someone looks at Buddhism whole, without the idea of expediential teaching, as taught in Chapter 2 of the Nirvana, the Lotus Sutra, then one might even think that they're contradictory to each other. But in reality, they're not. They're all leading to this one point of realization, The other important concept to realize in this third noble truth, that there is an end to suffering, is that we are to realize that as we have moved forward from the first realization to the second realization, and now to the third, we realize in this concept, the statement that there is an end to suffering, that we have the capacity to do it. That is a very deep statement that I am making. Maybe you don't realize how deep it is. This is an amazing statement because most people rely on some external power or external thing to come to the realization, to allow them or to give them favor to overcome suffering. But Buddhism, as I've stated in many previous podcasts, always pointing inside. So therefore, we realize that we have the capacity that we first come to realize when we examine that life is unsatisfactory and what that means. And then we realize that, our movements of mind, our actions, our our cravings for things to be different or things to be a certain way, through our ignorance of the reality of life, is the cause of our suffering. So we need to become at this third stage of the Four Noble Truths to realize, to stop thinking that truth is out there externally, and that the Buddha has caused us to look internally. So therefore, looking outside, and you do it in many different ways, and I wish to make a podcast about actually Buddhism and technology, because people constantly are thinking, the truth is out there, or the cause is out there, blaming other people, or that the truth will come from me, or the truth will come from that, or from this place, or him, or them, or she, or anyone, that deity, that religion. But actually, the Buddha turns and directs this inward, which is actually a very profound realization. We realize that the truth is in us, and that to see it is the purpose of our practice and study. So we move from the macro to the micro. This, of course, as I've stated many times, is removing the percentage of error by going as close as we can to the subject of our examination, of our study, as in the scientific method. If we look outside, we may blame others, or blame governments, or people, politicians, ideas, beliefs for our suffering. But in reality, as we then will look at the cause and the second noble truth, we realize that that suffering is simply by our craving for things to be our way. And then, of course, we realize that our perception, first of all, looking outside, is based on ignorance. Looking into external, the ever-changing, the impermanent world. Instead, when we realize there is an end to suffering, as we'll see in the next noble truth, the path, that path is to be walked by us. Then it's very essential that path is the word that they use for Buddhism, because that means one must walk the path itself. And as I've stated in other podcasts, originally Buddhism was called Butsudo, the path of Buddhism. Not the Buddhism, the religion, or the book of Buddhism, as they say now in Japanese, Bukkyo, which Kyo is a kind of teaching. But the path of Buddhism was always the way that Buddhism was identified or explained. So they then, as we realize this changing from the macro, the big world, the external world, to the micro, to our inner nature, and then as we see our aspiration, our bodhicitta, then our realization or faith that the Buddha nature exists, we have this recognition in oneself. So this recognition of oneself is actually, first we have the recognition of dukkha, suffering. The second one, as we see in the Noble Truth, the cause of that suffering is in our lives, in our perception, in our ignorance. And then the third is that when we realize that well-being is possible, and again, this is the direction and the wordage, the verbiage that Buddhism must use. Because again, if this is incorrectly taught or misunderstood through one's own craving, of course, how we look at everything is distorted. We may think Buddhism is a negative concept. But actually, this is the liberation, the idea that liberation is possible. This is the energy that comes behind it, the direction that well-being is possible. Second, well-being should be attained. And third, realization. We become more aware or mindful rather than simply trying to let go or change or rearrange our lives. You see this all the time where how people think, if I only remove this person or this problem, my life will be good. But another problem comes, another misunderstanding comes, another trouble. That if I could just escape and be away from all people, I would be happy. Again, we realize the reality that this external changing, this external manipulation, this external concept is itself the cause of suffering. And that by realization, to see things from this nature, from this Buddha nature, from this concept, this nature, we can correctly come to the realization that there is a path that we must walk in order to come to this realization of overcoming suffering. So the Buddha, especially in the context of the Lotus Sutra, states that once we come to this realization that there is an end to suffering, we must, without hesitation or mental reservation, distract ourselves from the reality of this attainment, of this awakening. But many times people might, in their intellectual mind, agree with this statement, but it is a much different outcome if one actualizes it, experientially manifests it in one's life. Because again, that is the internal, the inward look into our well-being, into our nature as such, that we correct our awareness, that we correct our perception. And therefore, when we are in this state, we are considered well. But when we are not in this state, we are considered sick. So as I've said before, like the great physician, as the Buddha has many times referred to, the medicine we have to heal ourselves is in ourselves, in our original nature, not something that is given or can be taken away or realized or understood or written down, but something that is actualized in every movement, in every action. And therefore, the direction of our life, and as we state in the Mahayana concept, the Bodhisattva way, our influence on others, we come to realize through this interdependence that our nature, our Buddha nature, has already and always known that there is an end of suffering. And when I relate back to that story that I talked about earlier, when I was a child, I believe my Buddha nature was speaking louder. And I consider myself lucky that I did not accept any of the, or as many of the perhaps misgivings or misconcepts or ideas. As one teacher said, replaying the ridiculous story, replaying the old tape of our karma, our parents' drama, our culture drama, the drama of all suffering beings, over and over. But then we realize that there is an end, and that end allows us to have towards faith, and then gain faith, which then directs our life. So I hope that this talk has been helpful, as we have discussed the third of the four noble truths, that there is an end to suffering. Thank you very much. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo.